Hi to our guests. I see we have a few. Today, the title of my sermonette is Psalm 132. Here we are, just a couple of days from the opening night on Monday for the Feast of Tabernacles. We're very fortunate to be able to observe these holy days and to know their great meaning in the plan of God. A section of scripture that the Israelites would read or recite from memory was a group of psalms called the Psalms of Ascent, Psalms 120 to 134. There's 15 psalms. I would encourage all of us to read them before the feast here. They're a very easy, quick read. Or when you get to the feast, to just read them when you get your temporary dwelling. So let's turn over to Psalm 132. My specific purpose for today is that we can enjoy this psalm as we go to the feast. We can think about what the Israelites were thinking as they focused on their journey up to the feast. Psalm 132, starting in verse 1. The title on the top of my page says, "The Eternal Dwelling of God in Zion." Zion is just another name for Jerusalem. A Song of Ascents. Verse 1, "Lord, remember David and all his afflictions." We know David, after killing Goliath, was chased around by Saul and his men. He had problems with Doeg. He had problems with disrespect from Nabal. He had a lot of problems that he had to deal with. And he remembered the afflictions, too, of his forefathers. You know, he was taught from a very early age by his mother about the patriarchs and the things that they suffered. Verse 2, "How he swore to the Lord and vowed to the mighty one of Jacob, 'Surely I will not go into the chamber of my house or go up to the comfort of my bed. I will not give sleep to my eyes or slumber to my eyelids until I find a place for the Lord, a dwelling place for the mighty one of Jacob.'" It was David's intent that he wasn't going to live in comfort and luxury while God's ark was out and about because of what the Israelites had done. In verse 6, it says, "Behold, we have heard it in Ephratah." That's an old name for Bethlehem. "We found it in the fields of the woods. Let us go into his tabernacle. Let us worship at his footstool. Arise, O Lord, to your resting place, you in the ark of your strength. Let your priests be clothed with righteousness, and let your saints shout for joy." The Israelites were told, right before the Ten Commandments were given, that they were to be a nation of priests. But they did not keep God's law, and they failed in that respect. We're also told in Revelation chapter 5 and chapter 20 that we will be kings and priests and we will be reigning on the earth. And also Peter tells us that we will be a holy priesthood. Verse 9, "Let your priests be clothed with righteousness." And that's what the Ten Commandments show us, what God expects of us, and let your saints shout for joy. You know, when people keep God's law, it makes them happy. There's not the problems that sin causes. Verse 10, "For your servant David's sake, do not turn away the face of your anointed." Verse 11, "The Lord has sworn in truth to David, he will not turn from it." David knew that he could completely trust God's faithfulness. Continuing, "I will set upon your throne the fruit of your body, And even though his sons didn't continue the way they should have in keeping God's commandments, this is a prophecy of Jesus Christ's birth. Verse 12, if your sons will keep my covenant and my testimony, which I shall teach them, their sons also shall sit upon your throne forever. In verse 13, for the Lord has chosen Zion, Jerusalem. He has desired it for his dwelling place. This is my resting place forever. Here I will dwell, for I have desired it. God shows that he wants to live in Jerusalem for eternity. That's going to be the headquarters, that mountain that we want to go up to for all time. And if God desires it, is there anybody that's going to stop it? There's no one that can stop what God does. Verse 15, I will abundantly bless her provision, and I will satisfy her poor with bread. There'll be a time of plenty for all those there. I will also clothe her priests with salvation in verse 16. We read about clothed with righteousness, and here it says clothed with salvation. And her saints shall shout aloud for joy. In Psalm 17, we don't have to turn there, but in verse 15 it says, and as for me, I will see your face in righteousness. I will be satisfied when I awake in your God's likeness. So we are all looking forward to that day when we are resurrected, salvation is granted to us, and we see God face to face. Verse 17, there I will make the horn of David grow. I will prepare a lamp for my anointed. His enemies I will clothe with shame. It says in Psalms that God is angry with the wicked every day, but upon himself, his Christ, his crown will flourish. So let's go over to Luke 1, and we'll see how that horn of salvation, what the Bible has to say about that. Luke 1, we'll start in verse 69. Luke 1, 69. This is Zacharias prophesying, but he was the father of John the Baptist prophesying. And has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets, who have been since the world began. We have a whole list of those, some of those, in Hebrews 11. Starting with Abel, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all those who hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our fathers Abraham, to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our lives. The servants of God love holiness and righteousness. They want to please God. And verse 76, and you, child, will be called the prophet of the highest, for you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways. He's talking about John the Baptist, his son. To give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins. Our sins forgiven through God's mercy. Through the tender mercy of our God, with which the dayspring from on high has visited us. To give life to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death. To guide our feet into the way of peace. So the child grew and became strong in the spirit and was in the deserts till the day of his manifestation to Israel. God sent John the Baptist to prepare the way for Jesus Christ, to get people's minds turned towards repentance. Let's go back up and read a few verses, verse in the same chapter, chapter 1. Let's read verses 30 to 33. This is when the angel had come to Mary. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David." So God was going to fulfill that promise that he made to David. In verse 33, "And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end." As Jesus Christ, through his sacrifice, now is the King of Kings, and will sit on the throne of David and rule with all honor and glory. You know, Jesus Christ is our advocate with the Father. He's the propitiation for our sins, and not only our sins, but the sins of the whole world. And Jesus is our holy high priest, and Jesus is our righteous judge, that we can trust the things that he does and says. So in conclusion, let's have the same heart that David has as we go up to the feast. Let's trust and believe God as we keep the feast and enjoy the sermons that we hear. And let's look forward to the time when we will see God face to face in New Jerusalem, where the Father has desired to dwell with us forever. Let's have that holy, righteous character of the King of Kings as we travel to the feast with all that we meet.